everyone. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio, the show that gives you the facts about relationships and love. Now, I've been helping individuals and couples improve their relationships for the past 30 years, and today I'm here to give you science-based strategies for your relationships and those of your children. Welcome, welcome, everyone. It's Dr. Terry. Thanks so much for joining me today. I appreciate you. Now, I have another great program for you today. It's all about how to create chemistry and sparks on a date. My guest today is Mae Bugenhagen. She has over 10 years of experience as a certified matchmaker and dating expert, with hundreds of her matches ending in lasting relationships and marriages. Mae graduated with a BA in Communication and Sociology from the University of California, Santa Barbara, and spent 11 years working in the corporate world for Fortune 500 companies. Today, Mae helps high-level professionals find amazing partners and transforms lives one match at a time. Now, listeners, I've met Mae at several conferences, and I can say her relationship advice is smart, practical, and very well respected. So for more information about Mae, go to matchmakermae.com. So welcome to the program, Mae. Great to have you with us today.
Oh, I'm so excited to be here.
I am so excited to talk with you. And what a great topic about chemistry and sparks on a date. But before we get to the topic, Mae, tell us briefly what motivated you to go from the corporate world, as I said, to becoming a matchmaker.
Well, when I turned 30, I did online dating and I thought, man, this is a tough way to meet somebody. I don't like it at all. So then, of course, I joined a dating service and I was not happy with them either. And I always thought I could do this better than them. I love hosting parties, poker parties, barbecues with my employees at the time. So I thought I could do this. I could see myself matchmaking my friends and colleagues. So that's what started the whole way of thinking for me, was I can do this better than these companies that I've signed up for. So here I am.
And here you are. And so did you find a partner through those companies, or share your personal story as well?
Well, I did join these dating agencies and I thought they weren't helpful enough. They weren't trying to guide me into a date or push me or be a cheerleader. And I really felt like that's what a single person needs. If they're looking for love, they're looking for someone in their corner who will vouch for them, speak highly of them, and be their representative, like an agent, so to speak. Right. And I really felt like once these dating agencies, they took my money, they didn't even really care about me. So I really thought, man, I could really do this. There is a need for someone that is a cheerleader that can help a single person. And that's exactly what I've taken with my business, and really be in a client's corner, advocate for them, talk about them highly, but without bragging about them. So make people want to meet them, and which has worked out fantastically.
That's great, Mae. And now I've met you several times, as I said to listeners before in the introduction, and I know you love what you do. What do you love about being a matchmaker and dating professional?
I love being nosy about people's love life.
That is a great answer. What does that mean?
That truly means I love asking them about the details of the date, like what do they wear? What do? How do they act? How were they with the servers? What did you think about them? What did you think about the questions they asked? I love asking people questions. And to me, it was like a natural with this industry and what I do now, because I genuinely love people. I genuinely have a lot of friends, a lot of acquaintances. I love keeping in touch with people. So this is all in my wheelhouse. And I love connecting with people about their love lives because I like helping them from the beginning where they're trying to find somebody and going through that journey of meeting different people and finding about what they like and dislike about their new partners and then their dates. And then finally helping them find someone based on like who they really need, not who they really want. So that's what I found about working with them is the journey of helping them realize some things that they didn't realize about themselves.
And sometimes we don't as individuals. I agree. We don't know what we really need unless perhaps we're asked those questions that you're referring to. And the answers to those questions are so important in terms of finding the right partner. And so in your opinion, then, as you've asked all these questions and you love connecting with people, as you said, what is chemistry and why is it so important in the dating world? Why should listeners be concerned with those sparks, that chemistry?
Well, chemistry is the X factor, right? So when two people go on a date, they don't know if they're going to like each other right away, or maybe it develops if after they bond over something. I can set up two people and they look great on paper, 80 or 90% chance of them matching on paper. But when they meet, they might not like the way she speaks or the way he acts or whatever. But chemistry is really based on the 11 years I've been doing this. I realize people base chemistry on what they're used to. Mm-hmm. So for example, if their father is in construction or he's an architect or he loves sports or he loves a certain thing, the woman will be like, okay, that's what I find attractive because I'm used to that. So I want a guy who is into sports. I want a guy who's into construction, or I want a guy who does this, this, and this, because that's what she's used to. So a lot of times I tell women that you might go out on a date on the first date and realize these things don't pop up right away. But the more you get to know him, the more you find him having things in common with the men in your life. And that's what makes you attracted to him, because you can see this new partner, potential date in front of you, can potentially get along with the men in your life. Like they can bond and have things in common. And that's what you might find attractive.
So do you have clients coming to you and saying no to that suggestion? I only want this in a partner. I only want that in a partner. Or once you tell them that perhaps this person will not have the qualities that you're used to. I love that. And you can still build that X factor. You can still build that attraction. Do they listen to you?
Yes and no. I really try to ask them questions where it makes them think, like, wait, you're saying you only want a man who's an architect because your dad was an architect? Like, do you realize how that sounds? Like, so I do have women who do that, say, I only want this, I only want that. And I'm like, wait, but don't you see a man and a woman walking down the street and they look like they have nothing in common, but yet they're together and they're happy and they're been together for a while. So a lot of times chemistry happens when you get to know somebody, like you work with somebody and you start making jokes with each other. And then next thing you know, he's normally not your type, but you fell in love with his personality. And that's how two people end up. Like a lot of times clients come to me and they say, I want this, this, and this in a woman. And then I'm talk to them maybe a year or two later and they married someone completely opposite of who they thought they would end up with. So it's not unusual where people don't give the other person a chance, but because I'm telling them from my experience, hey, this does happen. You should really be open-minded and take a chance, take a leap of faith.
Right. Take
and some
leap
women,
of faith.
Yes. Sometimes they listen, sometimes they don't. But I'm like, wait, you've been dating for like 30 years, 20 years, your way. So how about let's switch in gears and date my way and see what happens.
Right. And that's such a good point because, you know, studies show that we like what we're familiar to or with. And so that we gravitate to people we feel already comfortable with or what we know, as you said. And so it can be challenging. It can be difficult. It can be a risk to take a chance and to date or go out or see if you might be attracted to someone that you're not familiar with. I mean, our brain almost wants us to go back to what we're familiar. But if we can get out of that rut, if we can get out of what we're familiar, think of who we might date, listeners. So, May, how do you tell then singles how to create that chemistry or build that connection when they're out on those dates? What are some good tips or strategies that you would suggest for listeners?
Well, when I started this business 11 years ago, I've done my research because I know what I want to accomplish with my clients. And same thing for the singles out there, the daters. If you want to be a good dater, you have to research it and have in your pocket maybe 5 or 10 good questions to ask your potential date that are emotional questions, which aren't the normal, hey, what do you do for a living? But instead, what do you love about what you do? What do you dislike about what you do? And create interesting conversations so you're quote unquote bonding during a date and you feel connected. That's how chemistry starts, is when you feel like you're bonding over something. And that's when you feel like, okay, I really can connect with this person based on what we're talking about.
And well, that's, of course, a good strategy. You know, let's figure out though. So everybody really understands what you said, because that is so good. That's such great information. So have like 5 or 6 questions and emotional questions that you can bond on. So you said, like, what do you like most about what you do and what you don't like about what you do? Right. Are those the two questions that you said?
Right.
And what are some others that are emotional questions so listeners can understand?
Well, it's important to be in the moment when you're on a date and not think about it as an interview setting, right? So when you're talking about, oh, you just got back from vacation, you just went to Florida at the beach, and then you start asking them questions related to on the spot topics like, oh yeah, the beach. Yeah, I love that. What do you love most about the beach? And what kind of activities do you like to do on the beach? And what makes you excited to do them? Or what makes you excited about scuba diving? How did you get into it? So it's just not the normal, typical questions you would ask, but diving in a little bit deeper, but yet it's not like an interview. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yes, it does completely. Not being an interview. What's your job? Where do you live? Where were you born?
Right.
But something that can connect them to an experience, to an emotion. Right. And so you're going to be able to listen to them say, I enjoy, I love, I like, I want, whatever emotion that you can connect with. I like that a lot. And that, like you said, builds a connection. Excellent. Okay, so I cut you off. What are some other strategies? These are great.
Being a good storyteller is great. So whenever you have to explain something, it's nice to incorporate it with a story from your life or your background. So for example, I just said, yeah, when I first started this business, I used to do a lot of research and I used to do online stuff to learn more. Have a couple good stories in your back pocket. Like if they ask you, well, where did you grow up? Well, tell them a story about where you grew up and why that place was unique and special to you. I love stories. I love communicating with stories. I love listening to stories. So that's another good way of having a connection with someone, because someone is going to remember you more if they have a story to relate you to.
Mm-hmm. I like that. And if it's a funny story as well, I would think that would be even better, right? Hey, because we're going to laugh, right? And sharing that laughter and that fun is always good as well. I hear from women all the time, I don't know if you do, May, that sense of humor and laughter is so important on first dates. Do you hear that?
Absolutely. Sense of humor and being playful is probably the top 2 things that men and women always ask about They want a woman to be playful. They want a guy to have a sense of humor. And how do you have a good sense of humor? In my opinion, how I've developed a good sense of humor, and I don't mean to brag, but I love watching comedy, right? You watch comedy shows, you watch comedians, you watch stuff online on YouTube. And the more you watch it, the more you develop your own sense of humor. That's how I feel about sense of humor, because I did not wake up having a sense of humor or born with a sense of humor, but you develop it and you try to be witty and you try to have quick comebacks and not like mean sarcastic jokes, but jokes that like dad's jokes, like they're cheesy jokes. But if people laugh, then you know that you're doing the right thing and people are bonding with you and they could relate with you and that you're easygoing. So yeah, that's kind of like how
that.
I feel about sense
and
of humor.
So can you repeat what you saw that a comedian said or that you saw in a funny show, or should it only be yourself?
I think when you watch these shows and you incorporate it in your life, you then can spew it out, I guess. Like you have something similar to that that you could relate to. I'm not a good punchline person. I always ruin the jokes, but I feel like I can take someone's jokes and then kind of relate it to my life and bring a sense of humor to my life that way.
I like that a lot. I don't have a good sense of humor either, May, and I wasn't born with being funny, so I can relate totally. Now, I know you say also, May, that in order to create chemistry and sparks, you also need to be the best version of yourself on these dates. What do you mean by the best version of yourself, and what do listeners have to think about when they're the best versions of themselves?
Well, it comes down to getting to know someone in layers, right? You want to present yourself as the best way as you can. You're kind, you're funny, you're generous, you're good to the server, you're polite, you say thank you. You say thank you to the gentleman after he pays on the date. All those things are being the best version of yourself. You want to be on your quote unquote best behavior because you want that guy or that man to want a second date with you. So I'm not saying being fake. I'm saying be the best version of yourself. If you truly are somebody who's caring and kind, and maybe you split a meal with him, maybe you offer to split your dessert with him, like show different things about you that makes him think, huh, she's a nice person. She's very kind, or she's funny, or she's witty. So there are a lot of ways that you go through a first date, which is first date is what normally 60 to 90 minutes. In that 60 or 90 minutes, it's your chance to show the best version of yourself. And I do mean that as tell them about stories of how you grew up, tell them about stories about your parents. And I'm not saying brag because no one likes that, bragging about money or bragging about your status, but there are stories to tell him more about your life and create that bonding moment and for him to see who you really are as a person.
Mm-hmm. I like that. And also you said a few times that, you know, your date is watching you, how you respond or treat a server, the person in the next booth or at the bar or the cafe. And I think that's a really good point as well, May, that it's not only what we say that is the best version of ourselves, but also what we do and how we act. And that our date is really watching. Is that true? Am I understanding what you're saying?
Absolutely. I feel like we are always, quote unquote, judging somebody without realizing it or without fully blatantly saying you're judging somebody. But you're developing these opinions about somebody on a first date. I remember 15 years ago, I went out with this guy and we're just walking through the towns of Hong Kong, let's say. And he just walked by this homeless person and gave money to this person. And I thought, wow, that's kind of cool, because I never really thought about it or, you know, encounter that. But he just did it off the cuff, and that was a nice thing. And he would open doors for strangers. And I thought, oh, that's kind of cool that he does that. And maybe it's all natural to him, but for me to see it, it was like, wow, he's a nice guy. I can see him being, you know, a caring person. And that's just based on his actions without trying to impress me, but he did impress me. So that's the great thing about dating, is you can impress somebody without trying to impress them, just by being a nice, normal person of things that you normally would do. And that person will take notice.
Mm-hmm. And you said something else, which really, I know listeners are like, whoa, you said first dates should be 60 to 90 minutes. Can you explain, though? That's short.
Well, I feel like you always want to leave your date wanting more. There's no point in you talking to your date for 3 or 4 hours, and then you run out of things to talk about. And then you're both quiet, and then you leave. And that's the last impression you're going to leave with your date, was things were quiet and boring. But if you leave on a high note, you're laughing at a joke, you're having a great time, and you're like, gosh, I really have to get up in the morning, but I just had the best time with you. And the date was only 90 minutes. And you're like, I would love to do this again. Like, that impression you leave on the date, that person will be like, wow, I wish it could have gone longer. But yeah, I had a great time. I'm laughing as I'm walking out the door, and I want to see this person again. Mm-hmm. So that's the last thing your date's going to remember, is that you were having a great time and you were laughing, and that's what you want to do again. Instead of dragging on.
Yes, and feeling bored when you leave each other. Such great advice. Absolutely. And I know that listeners make that mistake, that they're having a good time and they keep going on the date, or they stay there rather than, like you said, I loved it, leaving them interested and wanting more. Absolutely. Now, we only have a few minutes. We have 2 minutes left, May. The time goes by so quickly. If there's one message that you would like listeners to take away from this program, what might it be?
I would say, anyone who has an interest in you, for example, if you're doing online dating and there's a person who wants to meet you, winking at you, sending you a message, he or she is the person who wants to meet you. They're already excited to meet you. There's a 50% chance that you have it made already. So if they're interested in meeting you, you should give them a chance. Stop going after people that you have a list of who you want, but pay attention to the people who want to meet you, because you're already halfway there. And just to be open-minded and meet them and see what happens and go for it. There's so many people out there who are interested in meeting you. Let them.
Exactly. Let them. And such great 2 messages. Be open-minded. Don't restrict yourself or limit yourself. And then go out with the people who are interested in you. And we learned such great information from May today as well, listeners, about good emotional questions, being a storyteller, having a great sense of humor, being the best version of yourself, and make sure that you present the best version of yourself. May, thank you so much for joining us today. I love talking to you. I always love talking to you.
Thank you so much. I love being here. And yeah, this was awesome.
Thank you. And again, listeners, if you want more information about Matchmaker May, please go to matchmakermay.com. As always, thanks for listening. I appreciate you. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio. I'm here to help all your relationships, including the one with yourself, be the best they can be. My personal website is Dr. Terry, the Love thelovedoctor.com, where I provide you with science-based relationship advice that's easy to understand and include in your life. So listeners, until next time, be safe, be healthy, and here's to your happy, healthy relationships.